Hey, welcome to Info Under the Radar, the show where we talk with an expert to simplify everyday ideas, concepts, and subjects that surround us.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another shortcast of Info Under the Radar. I'm your host, Vishwajit.
I'm Devendra.
And today we are talking about sort of a philosophical concept which is becoming more and more popular these days. It's called first principle thinking. The reason why we are doing this is not because Elon Musk made it popular and we are big fan of Elon's. Most importantly, we
certainly not me.
I would also not call myself at all his fan, although I do respect some of his work. So the reason of doing this episode is because we put out a Twitter poll and majority voted for first principle thinking. So it seems like it's a popular thing, which certainly our potential audience wants to know. So here we are talking about it. And I know, Devendra, you are very excited to talk about this concept.
Yeah, of course.
So as we said, like this sort of first principle thinking or reasoning via first principle became popular because of people like Elon Musk or Reed Hastings, who is CEO of Netflix. These super successful entrepreneurs started mentioning it. I think Elon popularly mentioned that in his TED talk as well in 2013. And from there on, like media started picking it up and everyone in like the startup entrepreneur scene, particularly in Silicon Valley, was like, oh, we need to do everything in our life with first principle thinking.
Yeah, that is how in general popular media more often than not works these days. But this principle isn't, as you rightly said, has been popularized by these leaders from that domain. However, it's quite old. It's like it comes from the times of Aristotle, so more than 2000 years old, like the Greek philosopher, right? Aristotle puts it very simply. It sounds very abstract, but he puts it very simply that he says that what is first principle thinking is that is the first basis from which a thing is known. You take down any problem, any statement, any argument that you have, and you break it down to a point where you either reach a ground truth, an axiom, or a postulate that you cannot further deduce from any other statement. And from there, you start building ground up.
So basically like the most fundamental truth.
Yeah. So we try to reach that in that regard. So there could be many ways to think about it and go about it. It's in another, it's in itself a branch of philosophy as well. But without going much into what exactly it is, I think it's always important to reflect upon the idea that whether does it have any pragmatic value on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Or how can we even use it? So why not we take a practical, so to speak, a problem or thing which we think a lot about, which is learning a language. In our case, that's German, which we are trying to learn, trying being the keyword. So let's say if Devendra, we have to approach learning German in this case, or it can be any language, by the way, learning a new language, so to speak, how can we approach this problem from first principle?
Yeah, when I started thinking about it, you know, like I'm already a little intermediate in my language learning journey of German, right? And I started thinking about it. Then I realized that the first question is, what do I want out of this learning thing? Like, what do I want out of this quest of German language? And to me, that was the most important thing, was that I should be able to talk in German with other people around in a natural, fluent way, just like I'm able to do it in English,
right?
Or Hindi as well. And on that basis, I heard something from Professor Stephen Krashen, and he said, there's a difference between acquiring and learning a language. And that's where it just struck me that, okay, the traditional way that is being taught to us, and in many language schools, like you go from A1, A2, and these are, European language standards, like the beginner, intermediate, and advanced in a generic terminology. So that's when you start doing that, you're trying to learn the constructs of a language. However, a child, if you see, it doesn't need to do that. It still starts speaking because the child has acquired the language.
From their parents.
From their parents, from their surroundings.
Right.
From watching anything, right? And I can relate it from my personal experience as well, which is when I was in France, I mm-hmm. never really took any grammatical classes. And although I never claim that I know French by any amount, but whatever little I was able to work my way around, talking a little bit on the phone towards when I was about to leave the country, or having small conversation. Mm-hmm. And if someone's speaking slowly, to be able to understand that. And if you've learned French, you know that speaking slowly is the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that that was the language I was trying to acquire.
Mm.
And that's when I was like, okay, I need to strike a balance in my learning journey. So that's when I started thinking about it in that direction, that, okay, this is now I need to think that, what are the first principle thing that could be employed here? So now learning is my first block, and then mm-hmm. acquiring is my second block. And now mm-hmm. I build upon systems on top of it to do that.
So the way you are saying it is, just so that I understood it, that learning a language from its fundamentals. So for example, be it grammar, be it usage of articles or whatever that is, that's sort of like the first principle way of looking at learning a language, right? Versus just mm-hmm. learning some phrases to, for example, order in a restaurant, which we mm-hmm. do via acquisition of the language. It's not yeah. necessarily the first principle way. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, both are in the differentiation of learning and acquisition. To be able to define that and segregate them, that in itself is first principle. Now, what you build on top of those, that you'll go further and further down that line.
Mm-hmm.
We can go beyond the idea of just learning a language or learning in general, right? So sometimes things are very obvious to us. And if, let's say, for any entrepreneurs out there, you're trying to think of the next innovative idea in that regard, right? So first mm-hmm. principle thinking helps you in that as well. Because the demand for something is the most when it's the most obvious, and no one really like struck a hammer on that. But how do you point out the obvious and the demand in that? Mm-hmm. Which is by segregating it to its fundamental problem, right? You mentioned Elon Musk, and he happens to have the solar battery thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not much aware with that example.
So basically, yeah, he famously gave an example mm-hmm. that he said batteries. I'm not sure if he was referring to the solar batteries or the car batteries, but he was mentioning that battery packs usually are very expensive, or historically they used to be expensive, right? And people around him, when he was coming up with this idea of creating battery packs, that they were telling him, no, it will still stay expensive. Maybe it's not a good business to get into. You know, how can you reduce the cost? So then he started thinking from, so to speak, from first principle, that what are the material constituents of the batteries? What is the market value of those materials, right? So it has, for example, cobalt, nickel, aluminium, etc. So breaking it down on a material basis and say, if we bought that on a metal exchange, what would each of those things cost? And then include the cost of, you know, production, etc. And then the calculation showed that it was much, much lower than what people were claiming it to actually be. So this is like a classic first principle thinking example in action, I guess.
Yeah. So there was process innovation. That mm-hmm. he innovated the process by going deep down to it. There could also be example of product innovation, right? On the direction that James Clear in his blog talks about that. That in ancient Rome, soldiers were using leather bags, all these satchels to carry food, stuff, letters. And at the same time, the same Romans had the vehicles which had wheels with chariots and these carriages, wagons, horse carts. And yet, for thousands and thousands of years, nobody thought the idea to combine the bag with a wheel. It was only in 1970, after the Romans, that someone thought that, maybe airport trails are really long enough and I don't want to carry my suitcase.
So we put a person on moon by that point, but we did not have wheels on suitcase. I am actually surprised. I did not knew this.
Yeah, so it was 1970 when a guy named Bernard Sado, he was just like hauling his luggage to an airport. And it's exactly that. And he saw a worker like rolling a heavy machine on a wheel skid. And then that's when he came up later with the idea of these wheeled suitcases.
Mm.
So what do you think about it? Fundamentally, he broke down the entire idea of his struggle of carrying something heavy and the ease that could be provided by providing something as simple as wheels, right? So that is one way of thinking in product innovation.
So I think if I understood correctly, basically from these examples, it's very clear that all these people, be it Elon or the example from James, it's just like people are having certain problems rather than believing, so to speak, the folklore or whatever people have to say. They are actually taking their time to understand what actually is the problem and then breaking down that problem to the smallest possible question, so to speak, and then trying to build on top of that, right? And I guess the example you gave for the wheel suitcase is, amusing at the same time, very impressive, I have to say.
So in general, in all of these examples that we talk about, the first principle that people should keep in mind is that start doubting something that is bothering you. And as Descartes coined the term, it's called the method of doubt. It's a very fancy way to put it in that sense, but everyone knows it, right? And we highlighted this point that more often than not, you would find yourself thinking in the direction of first principles thinking. And that it's not that you need to have some terminology attached with it.
Right.
But it just helps to know that, okay, starting with a doubt is a good idea in that regard, that something that is a long-term bothering situation, you start with something as a doubt.
How would you suggest to employing first principle in day-to-day life?
First principle in day-to-day life, first of all, one should think that what is the problem at hand and how repetitively bothering is that?
Mm-hmm.
If that is the case, then that's first value evaluation of the part that, okay, now this is where I need to start thinking on the direction. Now, how to start thinking on the direction is where you start doubting that, okay, what exactly is this problem about? Where does it come from? And problem more often than not is a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
With first principle thinking, you're trying to reach the cause first.
Right.
Once you reach the cause, you try to see that what are the building blocks of the cause.
Mm.
And if there's anything that you could optimize, improve, or change, and that's when you start building upon on top of it.
So should one start living life solely based on first principle, like a lot of Silicon Valley gurus suggest us?
I mean, living life off of one principle could be very impractical. And I'm not sure if that is anyone would do in general. And if people are advocating that, like, good for them, great, right? They have a very linear life to live. Sure, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I don't think that's possible. Mm-hmm. Also, it's not a magic bullet or like a silver bullet, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It has its own fallacies, right? One of them being that by the very nature of human beings having some sort of cognitive biases, we fall into the trap of like optimizing form over function. By that, I mean that, take for example, we already have flying cars.
Yeah.
They are just called aeroplanes.
Okay.
So optimizing for a form is saying that I demand something that is flying in the shape of a car.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I want. So this is optimizing form over function on a very trivial scale. Another thing that is a very major fallacy and very practical on that regard is that the corollary or the contrary to first principle thinking is the analogical reasoning,
mm-hmm.
or the principle of thinking in analogically. First principle thinking is good when it comes to identifying the problem and instantiating a chain of change. But what takes you forward on a regular basis on the job that you do is more often than not analogical thinking, because expertise is nothing but pattern matching.
Mm-hmm. What is analogical thinking in simple terms, just so that our audience is on the same page as us?
Analogical thinking is trying to build upon the knowledge that you already know or assume.
Right. So basically, if I just want to, improve an existing skill or, so to speak, even become an expert in certain area, we can easily use analogical thinking, which is basically the work which other people have done, in a way, taking ideas from that and take them for our benefit, for our improvement, or to become an expert, so to speak. But if we want to fundamentally change something, be it in your business or in even in relationships, I think relationship, it can be very, very important, because more often than not, relationship advice does not apply at mass scale, right? So I think that's where first principle thinking can be very useful, because you have to really think about what is the problem in your specific relationship and go from there on, speaking from experience, let's say.
I mean, that's a very fair way to think at it.
So I think just to sum it up, our conversation, as Devin said, we cannot just apply, you know, one principle for everything. And in general, humans are humans because we learned from what others have done, which roughly speak is an illogical way of reasoning or thinking, right? So anyways, we need that in day-to-day life, because you cannot think about everything from first principle. Like if you use a toilet paper, you cannot start just thinking about it from first principle. Why do we use it? Where it comes from, et cetera, et cetera. And if you do that every day, then you are gonna never be able to reach, you know, your work desk, I guess, from the toilet. So on that note, we will like to ask and leave this conversation at a small question. Do you guys imply first principle thinking or the idea of first principle reasoning in your work or in your day-to-day life, so to speak? If you do share with your experience of applying this principle with us on social media. On social media, you can find us on Twitter, Info Under Radar, on Instagram, Info Under the Radar, or also on YouTube, you can find our clips if you will just type Info Under the Radar.
And I hope that we were able to grasp some value, and we'll meet you guys with another episode next week. Have a great week ahead. Bye.